the front of the book has a building and windmills and stuff on it. But I thought what you really wanted, should have had, was Rodney Dangerfield in a lab coat. Going, I don't get no respect.
Well, I do talk about that a little. It does cover the personality of the engineer and the engineer vis-a-vis the scientist and respect and all those issues. But ultimately, I want to get across the idea of the difference between science and engineering, between scientists and engineers, and the importance of understanding that for public policy implications. There's a lot of talk these days, especially in the States, about we need innovation because we have to bring back the economy. And there's an equation between innovation and science, which is really very misleading. Science is sort of one end of the spectrum, innovation is the other end, and in between is something called engineering. To get from science to real innovation, you really have to go through an engineering development process. So there's a danger now, in the United States at least, that the government is going to throw a lot of money at science, hoping to get innovation, and it's simply not going to work. It hasn't worked in the past, and there are many historical examples of this. Many of the most significant innovations in the history of the world, the history of technology, have not depended on science. The steam engine is sort of the symbol of the Industrial Revolution almost, and the steam engine was developed long before there was any science of how you generate work out of steam. It took a century or so after the steam engine existed before there was a science developed to explain the steam engine.
A lot of the famous scientists in history, not actually scientists, like Alexander Graham Bell, the scientist who invented the telephone.
Right.
No. The engineer who invented the telephone.
That's right. Some people would call them inventors, but inventors and engineers are just sort of different manifestations of the same kind of person. The word scientist and the word science have been used and continue to be used to group all these people together. On the one hand, I understand that it's a shorthand way of including everybody that has something to do with numbers and things, you know, as opposed to, say, the arts. You know, so we have the arts and the sciences often in universities, those divisions, and I guess it maybe comes from that. But I think it's misleading when we come down to public policy questions, when we come down to questions of legislation, when we come down to questions of where you're going to spend your money if you want to get a desired end.
You had a really cute, short way of sort of the public perception of the difference between science and engineering involving a rocket going up and whether it succeeds or failure. If it succeeds, it's
a scientific achievement.
And if it fails?
It's an engineering failure. Engineers, they all know that story and they repeat it and they repeat it and they repeat it. And it continues to happen. you can find headlines in newspapers to this day that will, you know, connote that kind of thing. And we engineers, we grit our teeth every time we read them. But I guess I'm hoping that this book maybe will sensitize some of the journalists to the headlines that they write.
I think you should send out some T-shirts that say, "You're right. It's not rocket science. It's rocket engineering, dummy."
Well, that's another thing I talk about in the book. You know, can you have rocket science before you have rockets? And this is another example that the things often come before the science about the things. Scientists, generally speaking, want to understand what's out there, what is. Originally, they wanted to just understand the natural universe, natural world. The classic scientist is looking through a telescope like Galileo, you know, looking at the stars and coming up with ideas about cosmology and so forth. And the engineer wants to really change the world in the sense that the engineer wants to develop machines or devices that help us harness the energy of the natural world. Wind power is just a perfect example. The wind is obviously a very natural phenomenon. Can we get it to work for us? If we can, how? And that's not easy, as we're seeing in a lot of places today. We can put up windmills, but getting them to be efficient, getting them to be cost effective, getting them to be non-intrusive, getting the energy from the windmill to where it's being used, power. Those questions are engineering questions, and they're not trivial. They're not, you can't just will them to be solved. You have to actually do quite a lot of development work.
The book is The Essential Engineer, Why Science Alone Will Not Solve Our Global Problems. I've been speaking with the author and engineer, Henry Petroski, and The Essential Engineer, published by Knopf.